Iambic Audiobooks presents Hard Cold Whisper by Michael Hemmingsen, read by Adam Werner. Chapter 1. The blow to the head hurt like a motherfucker. The guy I was serving papers to, Pablo Martinez of Chula Vista, California, had one of those 21-inch steel collapsible batons in his pocket. I had one too, but didn't think a baton duel would be on the agenda. And he whacked me across the side of my head before I could touch him with the court papers and say the necessary words, "You've been served." The papers fell out of my hand and I went to the ground, and things got black for a while. I opened my eyes, and a brown-skinned angel glanced down at me. And her name was Gabriella. "Are you okay, mister?" "It hurts when I laugh," I said, the old joke. She knew that joke. "Then don't laugh." But she was serious, so maybe she didn't. She seemed awfully young, a teenager. She helped me up. "You're bleeding," she said. "Ouch," I said. "Let's get you fixed up." I'm a process server, and a damn good one. I specialize in hard-to-locate defendants. The ones who know they're getting sued or evicted or divorced or have a judgment lodged against them. They avoid the sheriff or other process servers who do not do what I do, trespassing into dangerous areas and sitting long hours on stakeouts. I was tasked to serve Pablo Martinez a restraining order from his ex-girlfriend who was terrified of him. Problem, Mr. Martinez was an apparent gang member and he lived in gang territory in Chula Vista, which is just south of San Diego and north of the international border with Mexico. The girlfriend had 4 days left to serve him to make the temporary restraining order valid. "Perfect for you, David," said my boss, Alan Marshall, who used to be a private investigator, and I suppose you can say he was my mentor, because I was hoping to one day be a gumshoe myself. Instead, I became a criminal. "I'm a process server," I told Gabriella. "I specialize in stakeouts and those who are hard to serve." She was cleaning the blood off my head with a wet towel. We sat in the kitchen of the shabby house across the street from where Pablo Martinez lived. The place smelled like mold and cooked chicken. The interior looked like it hadn't seen a fresh coat of paint since the 1950s. The windows were dirty and dusty. The carpeting looked like it had been installed in the 1960s. And not vacuumed since the 1970s.
"Sounds dangerous from the looks of it," said the young woman attending to my blood.
"Do you know Mr. Martinez?" I asked. She made a face, curling her bottom lip.
"Not really."
"He's in a gang?"
"Most of the guys around here are. You're lucky he didn't use a gun."
She had a thick Hispanic accent, the kind people who grew up south of the border have. Her English was impeccable, though. "I feel lucky," I said.
"What did he do? Why were you serving him?"
"Threaten his ex-girlfriend?"
"Figures."
"Typical?"
"I saw you sitting in your car yesterday," she said. "Thought you were a cop or something."
I smiled and tried not to laugh. "I'm not as invisible as I thought. I've been staking him out 2 days now. He finally showed his ugly face."
"There," she said, examining my head with dark brown bedroom eyes.
The wet towel was stained with some blood, not a lot.
"How do you feel?" she asked.
"It still hurts when I laugh, and I like to laugh, so I'm in a quandary. Thank you." The witty attempt didn't work here. "What's your name?"
"Gabriella."
"David Kellgren."
"Gabriella Amaya," she said.
We shook hands. And I suddenly pulled her to me and kissed her on the lips. She didn't resist. Her mouth was warm and moist, the way a lover's mouth should and could be. I stepped back.
"I'm sorry," I said.
"I don't know why I did that."
She touched her lips. "It's all right. Just don't do it again."
"Really, I don't know why I..."
"You got hit in the head. You're batty."
She blinked her eyes, like she was holding back tears.
"I've never done that before," I said.
"You've never kissed a girl?"
She was amused. Not one I just met. Well, she said, I never have either, but... And she licked her lower lip. It was a nice kiss. I'm sorry. Stop saying that. She was annoyed. It was awkward now. I said, better go. She looked down at her feet. Kiss me again, she said. I did, and I held her close.
How old are you? She asked.
28.
Not too old.
You?
Just turned 19.
19? You're a kid.
I'm no kid,
Gabriella said, her voice hard. I didn't want to let her go. Do you live here alone? With your parents?
I take care of my aunt, she said. She's bedridden and old. I'm her caregiver.
You're a nurse?
I'm not licensed or anything, just her niece. A niece nurse.
She thought that was funny. Where is your aunt?
In bed.
I kissed her again.
You just don't stop, she said softly.
I reluctantly released her from my arms.
I better go, Gabriella, before I do something wrong.
Maybe you should, or maybe you shouldn't. Sometimes wrong can be a lot of fun. We stood there, staring at each other. I knew that anything could happen in a single moment, the sort of moment that could and should change your life forever. It was a hard choice. I left. Outside, I found the papers for the restraining order on the street, where I had dropped them. I looked at the house where Pablo Martinez lived. Old, falling apart, grass growing high, weeds everywhere. No lights on inside. I doubt he'd come back tonight. He knew he was being watched. I'd return later. I had to. The papers had to be served in 2 days, and I always get my target. I pride myself on that promise. I liked my perfect record and didn't need Martinez to tarnish it. I got into my car and looked at the house where Gabriella Amaya lived. It was in a little better shape than where Martinez lived, but not by much. This was a rundown neighborhood where visual property values didn't matter much. I spotted her standing by the window, watching me like a sensual sentinel or a siren from the sea. She waved, and I waved back. 19 years old. What the hell was I thinking?